grab a beverage, settle in. When you're ready, we'll begin. Joe and Pat and Michael, too, are gonna talk comic books with you.
Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, where a couple of comic rookies, Michael and Pat, try to comprehend the world of comic books and comic-related pop culture with the help of Joe, who's just a casual comics guy.
Actually, I'm just going to kick off, coming to level set for the listeners, the show, and then we'll just dive right into it.
Kick it off.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to the Casual Comics Cast. We're on episode 228. Today we're talking largely about the DC Fandome event that just happened last week. I'm Joe, your regular host. I'm a guy who, big fan of all the comic books, all the movies. I used to read a ton of comic books, when I had free time and could afford it. Not so much lately, but love to talk about it with my co-hosts, Michael and Pat, who know not much about the books, right, guys?
You got it.
All right. I know nothing.
And Pat's back with a haircut. It's fresh. It's looking good. So,
yes.
Pat, thanks for joining us again today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the movies and then a little bit about comics and see where it goes. Today, we're super excited. We have a very special guest with us. We've got Columbus, Ohio's favorite radio broadcaster, as voted on by listeners of our podcast, Tim Hall. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. It's a funny story why I'm on here, because I was making a big stink about not being invited. It was really just a big joke, a killing joke, if you would say. I found out I was co-hosting with the famous Afternoon Drive show on 97.1 The Fan, Common Man and T-Bone, and I was doing the show with T-Bone, and they have a little segment of 5:45 called The Back Page. It's a segment where I, being the evening show host, usually jump on with them for a little crosstalk, one show leading into another. But that day I was co-hosting, so I was tasked with bringing a couple of just shoot-the-shit type stories. And I just wanted to talk about Batman with him, because we had 2 minutes or so. I saw the trailer came out. I knew Bone was a super big comic book movie fan like I was. I just wanted to talk about the Batman trailer. And then he dropped a line about, like, well, actually, because earlier in the day he was doing an episode of one of our new podcasts, and he was telling me, like, before we were doing some prep, that he had to spend an hour and talk about it. And I just thought that was so ironic, how funny that was, that I wanted to just talk about the Batman. Oh, must be nice. You talked about Batman on a podcast about comic book movies. I don't know anyone that enjoys that type of content, but oh, that's great. And so now here I am with you guys before I've even done that one. So, it's great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we snuck in there. We're glad to have you. Always happy to have a fellow Batman fan on the show. We try to be inclusive, and I thought it was funny. You know, you guys were cracking a little bit on each other, and I was like, I wonder if this guy would want to be on the show, and shot you a note, and we're super super happy to have you here. So last week was DC's Fandome event. It was like a virtual online comic book convention. They talked a lot about the big upcoming DC stuff. The new Wonder Woman movie is coming out. They dumped a new trailer for that with Kristen Wiig playing Cheetah. First look at her. James Gunn, Guardians of the Galaxy director, is moving over to DC, and he's directing the new Suicide Squad. Got to see Margot Robbie for the first time as Harley Quinn in the new movie. A little animated teaser of The Rock entering the Shazam universe, Black Adam. But like you said, Tim, the centerpiece of their whole experience was the new The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson. So, like, having heard that the trailer was coming, what's got you psyched about the Batman movie?
Well, I think just to know that it's back. We had heard that there was a project going on and that there was going to be a new film, but I don't know about you guys, I try to stay away from when it's just images that come out from a movie set. I try to avoid that. I want to wait, and I'm not even a big trailer guy. I'll preface with that. Sometimes I'll pick and choose, like, is it a movie that I want to not read any tidbits, not go seeking things out on the internet to find too much out. It's almost like just you wanting to be surprised by something. You already know enough about the world because you're a fan of that. We know Batman. We know, who some of the villainous characters might be. Yeah. And maybe you don't want to look into that. But when an official trailer comes out, and it's been a long time, and just how much I think all of us enjoyed the Chris Nolan trilogy, one of the greatest trilogies of all time, not just in a comic book sense. I mean, that movie was dark, sick, twisted, dramatic. It was all three of those movies. I mean, they were amazing. And I took bits and pieces in this new trailer from what Chris Nolan did. Didn't you guys? Like, it seems very dark. It almost seems like it's picking up the torch where the Joker left off. Cause I saw that one. That was one of the only DC movies that I have, you know, really wanted to watch. Some of these ones I haven't paid money to see them in the theater. I didn't think Suicide Squad was very good. I wasn't in on the Batman versus Superman with Ben Affleck. I'm trying to make my way through Justice League on Hulu, but like those ones, you know, I'm just watching on free TV or a streaming service that I'm already paying for
right.
on a monthly basis. The Joker and then this, the Batman with that Matt Reeves is directing, really the only two DC movies I've been excited about as a fan since the Chris Nolan trilogy.
Yeah, and if you're trying to get into Justice League, holy cow, hang on to your hat, because they announced the Snyder Cut is coming out of the Justice League on HBO Max, and it sounds like he's recutting that into a four-hour-long movie. So, man, that'll be a little nuts. But, yeah, the trailer came out. You know, Pat, what did you think when you saw the trailer?
I always get excited when I have to change my screen brightness to see a trailer. I did like how dark it was. I did like the Nolan series. So I think I agree. It feels like, I mean, there's definitely going to be some different themes in here and different characters, but I'm pretty pumped. I definitely get like immersed in kind of vibes like that. So I'm pretty excited. I didn't know a lot. So not knowing comics very well, I don't know any of those characters. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's, they're
like the Riddler.
I'm like, come on, the Riddler. You didn't see Jim Carrey as the Riddler back in the day?
I do know the Riddler, but I didn't know that that was the Riddler when I saw it. So I had to Google it afterwards and look at the set or like the cast, and the Riddler pops up. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the Riddler. But as a novice,
a novice, just the fact that he's putting riddles out there didn't make the connection.
God damn it.
Is this the Scarecrow that we're dealing with? He's a joke teller now?
It wasn't Joker, that's for sure, because that wasn't funny. Yeah, it did. It had a little vibe. Like they said that these are going to exist in different universes, Joker in this Batman movie, but I could see them changing their mind and pulling that back together. That trailer had some thugs. It looked like they kind of had Joker makeup. And the way that the Joker movie ended, where he had like some fans and people were like, yeah, this guy's chaos. I mean, maybe they'll tie him together. Because this is early in Batman's career, too. The Joker movie, I think, was the 70s. But Matt Reeves, the director, said this is going to be the second year of Batman's career. So he's going to skip the origin. He's just going to go to Batman, and it's going to make it a detective movie, which makes sense because Batman was always known as the world's greatest detective. So throw in the Riddler, give him some clues, and let him solve this whole mystery and show off his detective skills.
There was a scene where they showed Batman at a crime scene, right, collaborating with a policeman, saying like, hey, do you know what this is? And it looked like a card that I think now knowing was probably written by the Riddler, but what it looked like was written by a kindergartner.
It was the handwriting was a little illegible there, a little scrawly. And speaking of spoilers, Tim, somebody actually solved the riddle online. So stay away from that. The riddle that's like in that card, there's some pictograms at the bottom, and somebody's like, oh, I solved it. I'm a linguistics expert and was able to translate that.
I don't know why you'd want to do that. I don't know why you'd want to see things before the movie actually wants you to see it. I mean, you're going to see the movie. Like that's you'll see the movie. Like the trailer will come out. They'll likely put out maybe a 3.5-minute trailer, or they'll put a part two trailer where they'll give you another little taste of something. I don't think we saw. Did we see Alfred?
I think we heard him.
Yeah.
We heard him. But this is comic book movie fans always love when there's crossover actors and actresses, right?
Yeah.
And Andy Serkis, who's fantastic. I mean, going back to Lord of the Rings when he's Gollum. My wife does the most, not that she's here right now, she's the best Gollum impression that anyone in the history of the world has done.
That's what
I
you
can't
want.
Do it. Want Andy Serkis, who's also Claw in Black Panther. And so he's Alfred. I'm curious to see what he looks like because I don't take him for being that old. I don't know if it's a lot of makeup. I mean, the guy's barely like 50, 55 years old, right?
Yeah. It kind of occurred to me, and maybe I'm reading into it, because you didn't see him, you heard his voice. I'm like, I wonder if in the movie he's going to be like Iron Man's computer where he talks to him, and it's Andy Serkis is such a great voice actor. I don't know, maybe. Maybe it's too much. That's going too far away from the like the Batman stuff. But you get to see.
He's acting. There'll be a body in there. Maybe some. I don't know. They do all the CG stuff now. They can make dead guys actually in movies. So maybe they'll just dial him up and make him look 20 years older, like Alfred, the Alfred that we know from most comics and movies.
Maybe I'll just start the rumor though and see if it takes off that he's just voice acting in the movie.
AI.
Yeah, totally. We did see Catwoman, right? Early in her career. Pat, do you recognize her?
No, I didn't pick that.
Yeah, you're the worst. Did you watch this trailer?
No, I've been winging it.
So can we go back to makeup for a minute? Because there's one thing. Robert Pattinson is clearly wearing makeup as Batman. How do you guys feel about that?
I love it. I don't think he's the first one. I think you have to wear makeup if you're Batman because you've got to have the all black around the eyes because there's eye holes for you to see, and you need to make sure that Batman is as dark and as imposing, intimidating, whatever adjective you want to use. You got to make sure that that's there. I mean, the only thing I love that about Batman, how it's an actual mask. And you can see how the disguise works. You know, like Robin would just have his hair is there, his entire face. There's just a little sliver of a mask. And, hey, guys, I'm Robin. It's like, you're that guy. Like, we know you. We've seen you around. You're on the tightrope there. You're doing this.
Like it's Superman, too. Like, Tim, if you took your glasses off, your wife wouldn't be like, I wonder who this guy is.
Yeah, right. The worst one of all. Superman just takes his glasses off and combs his hair, and nobody knows who he is. But the makeup is phenomenal. I mean, I think we got to talk more about just Robert Pattinson and just how we think.
Yeah, so his look, there's a whole legacy of Batmans, and I know we only know him from 2 minutes, but where do you rank him? Like, Christian Bale level, maybe? You thinking he can pull it off?
You can't do that because you're talking about a 3-movie franchise that grossed a couple of billion dollars. Right. So you can't, maybe more. I don't know, have the figures in my head what that one movie, those three did, but he looked good. Like, I think you've got, for me, I was not a fan of the Twilight movies. I can't even say that I've seen them. My wife was a fan, but I've heard of them. I know of them. I've seen little clips. And you just think of him as like a skinny dude, right? Just a skinny, not very imposing guy. And clearly they're going to put you on some kind of intense workout regimen. They can do what they did to Chris Evans and make him bulk up for Captain America. They can do anything in Hollywood. So I thought he looked phenomenal. You have that scene, the little clip where they cut the music and it's just him. You mentioned the crowd, the thugs with the Joker faces. And he's just got like 3 or 4 seconds of like the sound effects and him just beating a dude and just throwing the Batman moves out there. It was good. I think he takes a shot to the chest as well in the preview, in the trailer. So I thought he rates highly, from a sneak peek. But I don't know if I can give him a ranking quite yet until we see the movie.
2 minutes in, I think I'll put him ahead of Val Kilmer probably still. That'll be where I'll have him.
I'm sure
he'll get slotted in there somewhere.
Well, you soft brought it spot up. For Batman Forever, though.
You brought it up. I wanted to ask, what's your stand on sidekicks in general? Robin, fan, not a fan? They need to have a Robin in the movie?
No. I don't think Robin has proven to work in really any of the movies. If we had any outside of the TV series, the old-fashioned TV series, have we ever had any positive feedback for a Robin? Chris O'Donnell,
yeah.
I mean, Chris O'Donnell was good too. Like, I don't think that was his fault. He's a good actor. I just don't think the character worked. I liked a lot better what they did with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's just me. They kind of kept that secretive. You kind of could see where that was going. Did he have a different name? What was Joseph Gordon-Levitt's name? Did we not really get it until the end of the movie, the very end?
Yeah, they pop it out of there. I thought it was one of the Robins. Right in the comic books, there's been like 5 Robins.
Okay, so, like Robins with different actual names.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was one of them, I think. I'm pretty sure. It's difficult to recall that one. So I love the trailer. I'm psyched for it. Looks like the villains, you're going to have Catwoman in the movie. You're going to have Penguin in the movie. And that's Colin Farrell with some pretty intense makeup on.
Unrecognizable. He looks crazy.
So he's like early in his career. He's not yet the crime boss that you know from, I guess, the other Batman movies or that I know from
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. You know, I don't know that anybody will pull off a better Catwoman than Michelle Pfeiffer, but excited to see how they do that in this movie. What do you guys think? So you've seen, it sounds like you've seen all the movies, Tim and Michael, you're pretty familiar with the movies. Like, who's favorite villains in the Batman series? Because we're going to get Catwoman, we're going to get Penguin, we're going to get Riddler in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm a Poison Ivy fan.
Uma Thurman?
I love Uma Thurman.
Tim, any favorite villains you want to call out?
Well, I think it's got to go to Heath Ledger, right? From Dark Knight Rises.
For sure.
It's pretty iconic. He won an Academy Award for that too, right?
He took an Academy Award posthumously. I mean, that was tragic. I mean, I think people who are fans of his, the thing that was crazy is it's rare when you cannot even see the actor or the actress in the character. And I'm blown away by it because to this day, like, you know, it's Heath Ledger. You know, it's Heath Ledger. It's definitely him. But your mind, you watch that movie, you're like, I don't see it. Like, I don't believe it. Like, that's not Heath Ledger. Is this incredibly sexy dude from 10 Things I Hate About You and Knight's Tale. Like, this is not, he's not in there.
I like how you're pulling out all the heartthrob movies. I'm loving this. Yeah,
it's him. You said Jim Carrey earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I get Batman Forever is not cinematic gold, but it was one of like the first ones that I really sunk my teeth into as a kid.
Mm-hmm, me too.
When did that come out? Like 92, 93-ish?
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm around 10 years old and starting to fall in love with the character with Batman and just just how that movie was shot, just how it all played out. Jim Carrey was cool. You're right about Poison Ivy. Same movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, same movie. You had Two-Face, you had Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Tommy Lee Jones or Aaron Eckhart. Better Two-Face.
Well, you know, they're just such different movies, too, like their take on it. I feel like you almost can't compare them. But that was the movie, too, that I think McDonald's sponsored that movie. And there were like plastic cups you could get from Batman at McDonald's when we were kids.
I think you're right. Batman Forever and McDonald's.
I think so.
I do remember that.
I think you're misremembering. I don't think that was the same movie. I think Poison Ivy is the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. The one where he's Mr. Freeze.
You're right. You're right. That's too many villains. It's Two-Face. I haven't seen Batman Forever in probably a decade.
Which is the one where he pulls out the Batman credit card, where he's got like the literal Batman credit card. Is that Batman Forever?
I don't remember this.
That seems like some Batman and Robin stuff.
That was probably, you're right, because that's George Clooney.
That seems way lame to pull out a Batman credit card.
He pays with a Batman card. Does it have Bat?
It has his logo on it.
Is it an American Express, a Visa, or a MasterCard? Definitely.
Why would he do that? What function does that serve?
Because somebody probably ponied up sponsorship money. Why did they put nipples on the bat suit? There's a lot of bad decisions all the way around there.
How could you use a credit card? It's traceable. Like, that's the whole concept. Can't be traced. I mean. Come on, like, how could this guy have all this access? No one's the wiser. It can't be one of the billionaires that lives in town to have all this cool stuff, military grade stuff that everyone that works in the company could recognize.
Yep.
No way.
So Tim, you brought up The Killing Joke, and I don't think Michael or Pat has read that comic. Try and talk a little bit about comics when we can. Can you drop some knowledge on them about that comic and what you liked about it?
Yeah, well, you know about it too, right, Joe?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you know when it was released?
87, 89, somewhere in there.
So it's been around for a while. Yeah. And you know, I'll preface it. I'm like you, Pat, and Michael, where I was not drawn to the comic books, the hard copy comic books as a kid. I don't know why I missed that, but I guess I was just the baseball card kid, and that was my hobby. And then I just really got into movies. And then when Iron Man was released and the Marvel thing kicked off, it was sort of all in. It was really just Batman up until that point. But I wanted to try to make an effort to take a look and see if it was something that could stick, because you hear about it's a craze. I mean, you're doing a comic book podcast here. There's millions and millions of people around the world that are fans of this, and it's a huge industry. You got comic book stores, right? Just like CD stores that exist, where you go in and just drop a wads of cash on it. But I wound up with, I can't remember the other graphic novel, as they're called, like right. with these two, but Killing Joke was the one, because if you search them up, it's one of the famous ones. And it was such a different look into the character. Maybe not so much different once the Chris, I think I bought that before, maybe after Batman Begins came out, might be when mm-hmm. I first took a peek at that. I was like, okay, this is kind of more where Chris Nolan is going, but it's nothing that I ever thought of with Batman. It's way more dark and sick and twisted. It's totally different from the TV series. The animated series was maybe on that line. Mm-hmm. And did you guys know they made a movie out of it? Like, I didn't see this yet. Yeah, but in 2016, they dropped a cartoon movie with Mark Hamill, who is the voice from the animated series.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Conroy was Batman in the animated series. They brought him back. Yep. And, of course, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, one of his, you know, great voice work there. But it's as sick and twisted, as R-rated as anything you can think of, like shooting Commissioner Gordon's daughter, like stripping the clothes, taking pictures of her, and then driving Commissioner Gordon insane, taking him to an abandoned carnival,
like an amusement park,
stripping his clothes, having these little baby men clubbing him, and just... I think the one line is there is all it takes is one bad day, because it keeps going back and forth between the Joker and his character, where it kind of pays homage, or the movie, I think, that just came out is kind of working right. in that lineage too, with how it's just a man who has a lot go wrong for him in the comic and the graphic novel. His wife dies suddenly, and you can't really tell if it's the bad guys. He's trying to get in with some bad guys to make one score. So he can take care of his wife and soon to be baby. And these guys, these thugs, are clearly taking advantage of him. Like, they want him to get him access to an old chemical plant to rob it and then let, you know, the Joker take the fall. And that's when cops show up and he falls into the chemicals, and then the rest is history. And it's the old, just takes one bad day, and he's out to try to prove that madness, and it could happen to anyone, and he's not that different. So it's good. It's really interesting.
That's one that like transformed the comics for a while. It's like, there's some stuff out of that stuck. Like, sometimes these things get undone, especially like these where it seems like it could be an alternate universe story. But that's one where Commissioner Gordon's daughter does get shot and paralyzed. And she used to be Batgirl. And after that, in the comics, she's now a character named Oracle, who's in a wheelchair, and she assists Batman like through computer hacking and stuff like that. So was she in the Birds of Prey movie, Michael? I don't think she was.
I don't think so.
But that kind of, I mean, that was a long, long time ago, and people expected that to get undone, because she was Batgirl before that, and they never went back to her being Batgirl. They have a new woman who's Batgirl now, but she's this new character. But yeah, that was a pretty big comic. I think that's, if I'm remembering it, that's Alan Moore, who also wrote Watchmen. And he did a lot to transform right in that era, bringing like more adult themes into comic books and trying to bring more psychological overtones to a lot of that. So, no, good call. I'm glad you had a chance to read that and that you enjoyed it.
How does a graphic novel become like a landmark issue? How is this something we still know about 30 years later?
I think it's something that's just transformative, that was like that much of a landmark, and Alan Moore became like this titan in comic book stuff. He also wrote V for Vendetta, if you've seen that movie.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah, so he was way ahead of his time, and like I think with Watchmen that really propelled him and his works to be taken seriously, to the point I remember one of my buddies called me, and what he was going to some university in California, and they had a full semester on The Watchmen, with like the comic book itself. It was like a literature class.
Wow.
And all they did for the semester was dissect The Watchmen for like a full term. So there's a lot there. But
let me ask you, Joe, what do you know what makes it the difference between a comic book and a graphic novel?
It's usually just the length. to be candid. Like, so comic books, when you go, I'm one of those guys who goes to a comic book store here in Columbus, Laughing Ogres, like the one that I hang out at most. And okay. they sell individual issues. And like you're getting about 30 pages and it's a story, but then it's continued month after month. They come out in the next month and the next month. And then after you get about six of them, that's a full story. And then they package those six up together and sell them as a single graphic novel for people who didn't want to read them one issue at a time.
Okay. So The Killing Joke was a combination of many separate issues.
I think Killing Joke came out as a graphic novel just because I think when Alan Moore wrote it, he wrote it as one comic, but it was like, it's much longer than 32 pages. It's much longer.
Oh yeah,
than,
it's like 50. I just clicked it off. It was like in the right. 50 range.
Right, but if you think about like Watchmen's a thick that came out in 12 separate monthly installments, and you could read them 1 month at a time. Or you know, a lot of people now you can't go back and find the comics themselves. They collect them into a graphic novel. If you want to go buy each of those 12 comics, it's going to cost you a mint.
Like the binge watching of comic books.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I've got a shelf of graphic novels, but mostly I like the individual comics. But I can see why people do it. It's just so much more convenient, especially like you say, Michael. If you don't want to wait that month to month, you want to binge it. You just wait till it's all done and grab it all. We've got a few minutes left here. Wanted to cap off. You did mention Marvel Heroes, and we were talking a little bit about it before we started the recording here. But it's fantasy football season for me, at least for those of us
me
who
too.
Are participating. You're a bigger Marvel guy. If you did a fantasy football style draft and said, I want to assemble the best team of five characters. We were talking X-Men earlier, but if you just want to go Marvel movies, who are you putting together that's going to be the ones who are going to take on, you know, Thanos 2 when he comes back?
Yeah. All right. So I've given the top five a lot of thought throughout the years. And I think the new number one just came in with one of the latest feature films, and that's the lady. That's who Thor says, I like this one. That's Captain Marvel. I mean, I don't yeah. know how. I mean, she's a ball of light that can just travel around the galaxy. She's many different planets. She can get there in the she flies through
right.
the ship bust
through
that's
that
carrying 100,000 bad guys, just flies right through it. Done. 3 seconds. Like, it's fine. She's
she almost
won.
Took out Thanos herself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she could have. Like, she must have, like, eased off the gas or she was thrown off to the side. But Thor, I'd say, is two. When Thor handles his stuff, and he gets Stormbreaker, and then he goes back and gets the hammer. He's got two things. He gives one to Captain America, but he starts wielding the power of the lightning. He's pretty untouchable, and I mean, he can kill, you know, 50 to 100 dudes with, you know, one yeah. strike.
And I like that eye patch yeah. look he's got rocking now.
It's yep, awesome. The eye patch was cool. It's cool to have the second eye, though, getting a little rabbit.
Depth perception is helpful.
Yeah, then I'd probably go, I got to give love for Iron Man just because he's got the gadgets and he's got the endless brilliance and the knowledge. So, and he's got the tools to protect himself, even though we know how it ends. I'd go with him three. I'd go Black Panther four, also with the vibranium. And they might be interchangeable, you know, between three and four, Black Panther and Iron Man. They're similar with their suit technology. I might even move, you know what, I might move Black Panther ahead because he's got basically their own version of the super serum. So he's an enhanced human as well. Yeah. So he's got the speed and he's got the suit. The suit's not quite like what Iron Man does with the missiles and machine gun bullets and all that, but he's the only way he can get killed is if he takes away his powers and then some guy cheats his way to a victory on him. So
yeah. He's also kind of more of a team player.
He's a team player.
That gives yeah. him extra points.
He's a team player. He's taking care of a whole country. I mean, he's a king, for God's sakes. It's so sad what happened, you know, last week with Chadwick Boseman. But yeah. that's three, and Iron Man four, and I'll probably go Hulk five, just with the sheer power and everything. That's my five. What are your guys?
It's pretty tough. Pat or Michael? You started.
I pick all the villains usually, so.
They're all dead.
Pat. I think the villains a lot of times have more depth in the comic books that we've read so far. So I'm a villain girl. I like Dr. Doom and Molecule Man. They're on my list.
Dr. Doom, you like? I think you got enthralled by his looks when they took his scars.
I got a thing for Doom. He's my dude. What can I say?
Pat, what about you? Got a couple faves you're going to throw on your team?
As you know, Hulk is so high on my list. It's the power, and also when he kind of turns off the Hulk, that he can be, you know, one of the leading minds.
Do you remember your favorite Hulk fact that we talked about when we read The Origin of the Hulk, of how strong he is? Tim, this will blow your mind. Hulk punched a hole in time one time. He's so strong. He just punched through time. It's pretty awesome.
How does one do that?
He's wearing
a time stone thing around his wrist. What does that mean?
He literally was so angry and so mad, and he punched time itself. It was like no stone, no nothing. But that kind of stuff used to happen in comic books all the time. They're a little ridiculous at times. So Pat, you're the Hulk guy, though. Anybody else? Fave?
I got to give it up for Captain America, though. Yeah. I mean, there's an honorable mention, he's right there on the outside looking in. I think Wanda gets overlooked.
Witch. Yep, totally.
She gets overlooked. She is super powerful. A little disappointed by Vision. Like I thought Vision was just going to be this. He takes down Ultron. I thought he was just a superpower, super being. But he winds up being kind of puny, the way he just lets him just grab him right by the throat and steal his stone.
Exactly. Well, I'll throw out there, Vision and Scarlet Witch is one of my favorite comic books, and Pat and Michael have heard about this. And I'll see if I can find you maybe an electronic copy you can read if you're ever bored. There's a series where they got married and moved to the suburbs. They quit the Avengers. And like bad guys kept showing up at their door all the time. And it comes out that Wanda's dad is actually Magneto. And they're having a Thanksgiving dinner at their house. And her brother's Quicksilver. And all the superheroes show up for Thanksgiving dinner, all wearing their costumes. Like Captain America, totally costumed out. Namor the Submariner, just there in his Speedo. No shirt. He's like, and they're all sitting down to have Thanksgiving dinner. And Magneto knocks on the door. He's like, I'm here for dinner. And man, the heroes go mental. But like Magneto's just showing up for Thanksgiving.
Isn't the Marvel's version of the Flash dude, Wanda's brother, who dies in Ultron?
Yeah.
Doesn't another actor play that character in some of the newer X-Men movies?
Yeah, in the X-Men movies. That was a pretty awesome scene.
Right?
Yeah, that was a pretty X-Men movie where he's like everything's moving super slow.
Oh yeah. Yep.
That was pretty awesome.
He's in at least two of those newer X-Men movies. I think he was in Apocalypse and the one before that.
Yep.
Where they're helping to bust Magneto out of the... I think he's being kept in the Pentagon or something like that in the one flick.
Somewhere. Is that the one where he's like in a totally plastic thing?
Yep.
And they inject...
Gotta keep it plastic.
They inject metal into the guy's butt so he can get it out when the guard comes.
They do all sorts of tricks to get Magneto.
He's got to be top of the villain chain in the Marvel Universe.
Like, I drafted him on my fantasy football league too last time we had this talk.
Yeah, Michael, you are all about the villains. That is true. So I want to be respectful of everyone's time and get back to. I know some of us are just on their lunch break. I want to be respectful of that. Any parting words on anything we talked about today, Michael? You go first.
No, just this was great. I'm super excited about the Batman movie and can't wait to see if it lives up to expectations following the trailer.
All right, Pat?
Yeah, I'm still playing with my screen brightness, trying to make sure
that you saw the trailer that we saw because you missed all the characters.
Pick up context clues, just general like comprehension skills.
Nice. Tim, any parting words?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. First of all, Michael, Pat, Joe, it was fun. Really excited for the Batman, mainly Robert Pattinson, the lead. He just looks like he's really feel the character. You know, he didn't get the advice from Chris Nolan. We found that out. He wanted to just sort of do his own thing. And it looks like he's got it. Looks like he's got it down. I'm really excited.
Right, I have a high level of confidence. The movie's only 25% finished filming. But they were able to put together a pretty awesome trailer that's got me excited. Thank you, Tim, so much.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you hopping on with us. This was a lot of fun. I think I mentioned to you on the side. I have three daughters. They're triplets. They're all 16. So I got three 16-year-old young ladies. We're down at the Scioto Mile this past weekend, just walking, like you do in the pandemic. You got to find some way to get outdoors.
Absolutely.
And they're making fun of me at the same time they're handing me everything because they've all got their phones and everything. And they're like, can you put this? And I got my cargo shorts on, so all my pockets are getting filled. And they're making fun of me, but they're the ones who are taking advantage of the situation. And they talked about how dads dress. And I was like, listen, at this point, I told them, I'm like, your mom's already married me, the end. And I'm never going to impress you kids. Nothing I do impresses you. So, you know, this is how I live now. And my one daughter did say to me, well, you did kind of impress me that that guy you listen to on the radio is going to be on your podcast. So if nothing else, Tim, you helped me impress one of my three teenage daughters. So I'm so glad you could join us on the show, and you know, I love talking to you.
If we can impress one person, then it's all worth it, right? keep doing it. Try to get those numbers to grow. You better stop wearing those cargo pants. I think that's your next move.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm not even condemning the style. I kind of am, but not really. It's so you don't carry everyone's stuff. Wear some yoga pants just like them. Hey, I don't need pockets either.
That's not an improvement. That's not an improvement for Joe, I don't think.
Oh, come on. No body shame.
Lemon ones. You know, go drop $150 on a pair of nice men's yoga pants.
Certainly will. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody. And we will talk to everybody again soon.
Meanwhile, back in the secret Casual Comics Command Center, Jeff monitors the proceedings.
Wait, what? Jeez. Nice way to end the show professionally. Well, this is what happens when I let him record in the middle of the day without me. Well, let's see what I can do here. Ready music, and here goes nothing.
Thank you all, and cheers! Please support our friends at Platform Brewing in Columbus, Ohio. And if you enjoyed the show, please rate us and leave a few kind words wherever you listen to the podcast. You can also reach us on Twitter at Casual Comics Guy and online at CasualComicsGuy.com. See you next time!